It's my pleasure now to introduce Rick Box. Rick is the founder and CEO of Integrity Resource Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to training and equipping over 1 million leaders to do business God's way. Rick has a daily radio program and broadcast email called Integrity Moments that reaches over 2 million leaders and is featured on 260 radio stations. He's authored 6 books, including his latest book, Unconventional Business. Rick has served on our committee for several years. Please welcome Rick Box.
Well, good morning. It's really my great honor to be able to introduce our speaker to you all today, and it's great to see such a full room here to honor him and his time that he's invested here today. But Dayton spent many years with the Atlanta Brave organization, working his way up to being assistant general manager. And then about 10 years ago, he took a job that everybody thought he was crazy for a career move. But he did it anyway, and God has really blessed that effort, and we've seen the blessing of it as a community. And so we're just grateful that he would spend time with us. Dayton has received many awards and accolades, including last year Major League Baseball named him Executive of the Year in Kansas Baseball Hall of Fame, inducted him into that as well. And he's just had a remarkable career and a remarkable impact. But one of the things that probably impresses me the most is I've spent a few times with Dayton, and what I see in him is what the old book Good to Great used to call level 5 leaders, and that's just basically a humble leader but driven. And that's really what I see in Dayton Moore, is he's one of those humble but driven leaders. He and his wife, Mary Ann, have 3 kids, and they live here in the area. Naturally, we all know that they won the World Series after that bold career move. And so we're just so grateful to have him today. Let's give a warm welcome to Dayton Moore.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And it is a tremendous honor to be here. And I got to say that when I was first asked to be a part of this, I was very humbled that you all would think of me for this honor. And obviously, we were in spring training, and I looked at the schedule, and our son Robert's birthday is today. So I planned to be back in Kansas City anyway. So again, I didn't come back specifically for this, for the sake of transparency, but it is a great honor to be here. And as Rick mentioned, Mary Ann, my wife, Mary Ann is over here to my right. And without her encouragement, her support, her love, dedication to our family, there's no way that I could get through what we need to do as a husband and a father. So, Marianne, if you could stand up, please, and honor her. Thank you. You know, people ask me all winter, you know, what was your greatest moment? You know, winning the World Series. It must be the greatest feeling of your life. And, you know, I had to really, you know, reflect upon that. And because when we won the World Series, it was just really kind of a numbing feeling. I didn't feel any particular great joy or satisfaction. And it was almost like a relief, truthfully. And but as I began to reflect on it, the thing that brought me so much joy was just the our family, how much they appreciated their support, their dedication to one another. And through this journey, our family became so close. And I mean, I could go on and on about, you know, the different events that took place leading up to finally, you know, breaking through and having success. And then to be able to, you know, see the little boys and the little girls throughout Kansas City once again enjoying this baseball team, and to see you, our fans, uniting together for the game of baseball. It brought us so much joy, and hopefully that is memories that were created in each one of your lives that you'll have forever. But let me just say this. I'm a follower of Jesus. And anything good in me comes from him. Anything that I do well is because of him. And the thing that is so humbling about an event like today, where we have people come together to cast aside self and recognize the importance of prayer and recognize the importance of Jesus in their life. You know, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus of Nazareth is my Savior. And it's been his leadership, his guide, that has directed our path here in Kansas City. So when we began this journey, truthfully, I didn't think we had a chance to win here. After being here for about a month, knowing that it was going to take probably 8 to 10 years to get this organization in a place where we could win, I'm not sure we'd have that much time. Because in professional sports, truthfully, you don't receive that much time. The fan base will grow weary. They'll become even more frustrated. And as Rick indicated, and many of you know the story, most people felt that it was professional suicide coming here to Kansas City. The economics of baseball had changed. We didn't have a very good farm system. You know, at one time, the Royals were a model organization. But people felt that there's no way you could win here in Kansas City. In fact, a lot of people don't realize that the Royals were actually a part of contraction talks at one particular time, as they were looking to move into new markets and restructure Major League Baseball. So it was a tremendous challenge. And the only thing we knew to do, and the only thing that I knew to do as a leader, was to do everything that we can to create a great environment. And so we relied upon the principles of Scripture. We went to our foundation of faith. And I knew as a leader that we were here for a reason. And I was quite certain that God wasn't impressed with the general manager of a baseball team. And I know for certain that he's really not impressed with a World Series championship. But I did feel an overwhelming feeling that he wanted us to use this as a platform, to use our role as the general manager of the Kansas City Royals as a platform. So we began to say, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen at the end. We're not going to be attached to winning a World Series. We're just going to commit to the process of building an environment and creating the greatest place in the history of baseball to work, where scouts want to represent the organization, where coaches, instructors, and managers have a spirit to teach and to help young men become strong leaders and grow them and grow their character. And I would say constantly, guys, we can find 25 coaches in the world that will do it our way. We can find the right scouts that will represent us in the communities, the cities, the suburbs, and the small country towns throughout the United States. And we can find the right people around the world to represent the Kansas City Royals and articulate our message of character, our message of helping young men become great husbands and great fathers one day. So that was the spirit in which we began to build this organization. And if we ran out of time, we ran out of time. But we're going to leave this place better. People are going to look at us at some point in time and say, you know what? The Royals may not have won, but they treated people with kindness. They treated people with respect. And they honored Jesus. And that was the spirit in which we went to work. Some of you may recall in October of 2013, I was at a press conference at the end of the year, as we often do, to wrap up the season. And I was asked a very personal question about my contract and my time here in Kansas City. And most people felt in the media, and let me just say this, that the overwhelming majority of each and every one of you and the fans throughout our great city have always been very supportive of our vision, supportive of our family. This is an incredible, incredible place. But I was asked that question about my time here in Kansas City, because as I said, most people in the media felt that the process needed to go back home or leave or be tried to instilled somewhere else. They wanted us fired. And I said, you know what? Part of me feels like we have won the World Series. You know, we had won 86 games. We didn't make the playoffs. But I said, you know what? A part of me feels like we have won the World Series. Well, people went crazy. Twitter blew up. Articles were written. Some of you, I'm sure, read them. Business leaders and women, men and women throughout our community wrote me letters, sent me emails. How can you make a statement like that? This is professional sports. It's a bottom line business. You either win or you lose. We haven't been to the playoffs in 28 years, and you're talking that you feel like we've won the World Series? You're in the wrong profession. You shouldn't be in professional athletics. Those are the comments and conversations that I have. But see, we committed to building an environment. That was our challenge. To build a great place to work, to represent the game of baseball, represent our community, grow players where little boys and little girls would aspire to one day want to play like them, or cared enough to get to know them. And we wanted players that would connect to our community, players that would understand their role as athletes and what it's truly about. And they are role models, and our players do understand that. They're not perfect, but they understand that they have a role in growing this game. So when all of that began to change, and you could see and feel that the environment had changed, it was the very best feeling I've had since I've been the general manager here, because people once again were enjoying the Kansas City Royals. See, many of you know that grew up in this city, as I said before, the Royals were a model organization. And if you have kids or grandkids, you probably couldn't get them interested in the Kansas City Royals if they were baseball fans, because the Royals had never won. And the only time that you would see young boys and young girls going to the games is when we played the Red Sox or the Yankees or a high-profile team. People couldn't give their season tickets away, and they purchased them more out of tradition, family tradition, than anything else. But that had changed. Now, did I know we were going to win championships? No. But I knew we were going to start winning. I knew we had a chance because the environment had changed. See, all of our success is tied together. This team wins. This team is successful because of each and every one of you and our great fans. We have good players, but I'm not sure we have a real superstar yet. We've got some superstars in the making. But it's because the energy and the atmosphere that these players are willing to give their best effort over 162 games. It's the environment. Each and every one of you have as much influence over the success of this team as I do, because the players play for the city, they play for one another. It truly is a selfless attitude in which they go about their day and compete for one another. See, this group of players, when they first broke into the major leagues, they're trying to validate self. And we all know that, if we're honest, the disease that divides families, the disease that hurts corporations, destroys teams, destroys cities, it's the disease of self. That's what hurts and destroys and kills. And when these players first broke into the major leagues, they're trying to validate one another, or themselves rather, instead of one another. They're trying to prove to the fans, the coaches, the managers, the ownership that they belong. So if they get their hits, they execute their plays, they make their pitches. Regardless whether the team wins or loses, they feel like they're getting another opportunity to go out there and play the game that they love. But when they began to focus on one another, and we had a breakthrough early on in May, and what happened in May of 2013, we had a disastrous May. I think we won 8 games. I remember in Houston, and I remember we lost that game, and Houston wasn't very good at the time. And I was coming into the hotel, and I saw several of our players leaving the hotel. So I realized right away they weren't as focused as they need to be. The hurt, the loss, the losing wasn't hurting them the way it was hurting all of us. And I woke up the next morning, and I couldn't wait to get to the ballpark. I couldn't wait to sit down with Ned, because Ned and I were just beating ourselves up over and over about what we could do, because we knew we had enough talent, but it just wasn't coming together. And I said, you know what, Ned, until these players become men and learn to make better choices off the field and learn to play for each other instead of themselves, we're not going to win. We're simply not going to win. So we began to focus more on how we could help grow them as men, and had a lot of conversations one-on-one with each and every one of them, and tried to talk about the example of Alex Gordon, who is one of the very best leaders that I've ever been around. And what separates a player like Alex Gordon is very simple. He's learned to embrace whatever he's experiencing as if it's the best thing to ever happen to him in his life. You know, Alex's career didn't go to script. Alex was going to be the savior of the franchise. Alex was going to be the next George Brett. Well, it didn't work out like that. So when we had to send Alex down, honestly, I wasn't sure we'd ever see him up here again. I figured, you know what? We'll probably have to trade him. I'm not sure he's going to be able to get back up here and be the player that we all envisioned, and perhaps somebody else will give him an opportunity. But Alex accepted that challenge. Alex embraced that. Alex did whatever the team needed him to do. Alex transitioned to the outfield, 4 gold gloves, a platinum award, 3 all-stars games later, an American League championship and a World Series championship. Why? Because he didn't complain. He went to work. He embraced his circumstances, he accepted the challenges, and did it in a very selfless way. So we began to talk with our players about that selfless attitude. See, you have to have those examples of greatness around and on your team if you're going to be successful. It has really very little to do with production on the field. It has to do with character. It has to do with leadership. It has to do with being accountable. And Alex is really the pillar of why we are successful. He is the one that has helped hold this team and this group together. Is he vocal? No. Doesn't say a whole lot, but he leads by example. So what's happened is, in this group, It's a genuine love and respect and admiration for each other. It's a selfless attitude that began in them as a group with the selflessness of one player, Alex Gordon, becoming who he is and the type of leader. People talk about the relentlessness of this group, the relentlessness in which they play. They came back so many times, 8 games in this past playoffs, 8 come from behind wins. I think they outscored their opponents 40-5 in the last 3 innings. But it's the relentlessness of the entire group, the relentlessness of our area scouts, the relentlessness of our player development people, Ned and the coaching staff, our front office, our ownership, our fans, relentlessness and passion to win. It's everybody together is why this group is successful. So I did feel and do feel that in 2013, it was like winning the World Series because the environment had changed. You know, there was 3 things that we felt were very important with the people that we brought in as leaders. We needed leaders that were going to be able to apply moral principles in their life. And you can say, well, why is that important? It doesn't matter. If you're a great negotiator and you can seal the deal, that's all that matters. If you're a talent evaluator or a great teacher and you can get the best out of players, that's all that matters. And there's some truth to that. You need people that have that type of skill set. But being able to apply moral principles in their life was paramount for me. Because there's nobody that I've ever been around where their personal life doesn't leak into their professional life. And we don't have time to make mistakes. You're dealing in professional athletics. You're competing against the best of the best. And the people that we brought in, we needed them to be husbands and fathers and understand that their team is at home. And if you can manage your team at home, which should be the most important thing in your life on this earth, you've got a chance to let your natural gifts as an evaluator, as a teacher, as an instructor, as a negotiator, as a great teammate, you have a chance for that to play out naturally. But if you're not taking care of your personal life, it's probably not going to work. The second thing we needed a group of people that understood diversity, respected different cultures, respected different experiences, accepted outside-the-box thinking, people that cared about the opinions of others. The third thing that was absolutely crucial was people that understood and had a great passion to win and a great passion to compete. You know, it was Vince Lombardi, the great coach from the Green Bay Packers, who said, the will to win isn't the only thing, it is everything, it's the only thing, right? I butchered that. The will to win isn't everything, it's the only thing, right? Well, our motto, we changed it. The will to win for each other isn't everything, it's the only thing. And that's the spirit in which we put our leadership team together. And those were the type of players that we wanted to surround ourselves with, to make sure they understand that winning for each other isn't everything, it's the only thing. So, what do I do? What do I do as the general manager of the team? Well, the scriptures are so important. And there's a book that I read early on in my career called The Management Methods of Jesus. It was by a gentleman by the name of Bob Brenner. And as I began to lead departments, like most of you, you know, I wanted to do well. I wanted to be the type of leader that could earn the respect and continue to have that privilege and influence in the lives of others. So what I've committed in coming here to Kansas City was 7 principles that were absolutely important for me. I've reminded myself each and every day that the importance of settling disputes quickly, right out of Scripture, where Jesus tells us to settle those disputes quickly. You know, in baseball and what you do, oftentimes you don't know if you're right or wrong until several years into the future. There's a lot of gray area. There's very few slam dunk decisions. It's hard to build a consensus. Therefore, there's a lot of debate that happens along the way. And sometimes it gets a little personal. You know, I'm just coming from spring training here, and honestly, this is coming in a great time for me this morning, because in spring training, it's very intense. You've got all your people down there. Truthfully, there is a ton of drama that takes place on a daily basis. You're dealing with players at all levels, 200-plus players in spring training at one time. You're dealing with huge egos, people that are extremely driven, the best competitors in the world. And what I realize through this experience in spring training, every year I come back realizing how hard it is to be a peacemaker, how hard it is to be selfless, how hard it is to put my ego aside, how hard it is to be a man of prayer, how hard it is to be a husband and a father. And when I try to do it myself and rely on self, I fail miserably. So I'm reminded and convicted of the importance of my faith walk with Jesus. So I've got to just settle disputes quickly. I've got to be responsive to our leadership team. I've got to be responsive to our people. I've got to give them more than they expect. And the most important thing to most of us each and every day is time. And what do people want from you constantly? They want your time. And I've realized that I've got to be the type of leader that can give people more than they expect and give them my time and have relationship and interaction. I've got to stand up for our people. You know, oftentimes when we were dealing with our building process, a lot of people wanted Ned Yost fired. I was asked the question constantly, anytime we would go through a losing streak, are you going to stick with Ned? What are you going to do with Ned? And then they coined the term being Yosted, right? But what I know from the example of Bobby Cox in Atlanta and what I saw in Ned, there is so much more to manage in a baseball team than what you see on the field. And I always stood up for Ned because I believed in him. I believed in him as a competitor. I believed in him as somebody who was very optimistic. I believed in him as an encourager. See, being an encourager and being positive, that's how you motivate people. That's how you get players to play hard. And Ned has those qualities, and players play hard for him. So I always stood up for Ned. But you've got to stand up for your people. You've got to be honest. You got to be direct. You can't sugarcoat things, but you've got to stand up for your people. The fifth thing that's very important is to share the glory. Humility is so important. That's who Jesus is. Humility. If there's anything good in me, it comes from God. So you got to share the glory. Give credit where credit's due. Remain calm in the eye of the storm, which is very challenging for me. I'm intense. I want to win. I'm a competitor. Sometimes the competition in me turns to stubbornness. I need accountability around me to help me in those areas. I bring people in 2 times a year in spring training to sit with me, be in my meetings, listen to how I talk, how I interact with people. I want that. I want that accountability. If you're not accountable and you can't remain calm in tough situations, consequently, you're going to have a lot of yes men and yes women around you. If you hold yourself accountable and they know that, they're more willing to address you. They're more willing to confront you in a positive way, whether it be in a meeting, a setting, whether it be, you know, one-on-one. But I've got to be calm when things heat up. And the storms do rage, and the skies, they do get turbulent. That's part of leadership. I go back to Alex Gordon. You have to embrace it. Know that it's an opportunity to simply make you better. The seventh thing that's been crucial in my leadership journey is having those one-on-one conversations. You know, Jesus would talk to the masses, but most of his best work was done one-on-one in small groups. And I've learned that you have to know who the drivers are. Who are those people that are influencing? Make sure you have those one-on-one conversations. I understand, sometimes you've got to stand up, you got to articulate the message, you've got to be inspirational, you have to motivate the group to move forward. But you have to have those one-on-one conversations. So because of what I've learned in the scriptures in my faith walk, those are absolutes that are just critical for me as a man, as a leader. And as we move forward over our next year, 5 years, whatever we end up doing here in Kansas City, we're going to continue to do it the exact same way. We're going to continue to lead by example, grow the game of baseball in our community, continue to try to sign players, develop players that understand the importance of connecting, you know, with our community and understand their roles as leaders. You know, when I talked to our team this past spring, what I said to them was simply this: congratulations on all that we've accomplished, but what I am more pleased with, and what you should be more pleased with, is how you've conducted yourself. And what you've done is you've laid the groundwork for other young players to play here in Kansas City, to want to play here in Kansas City. You're ensuring opportunities for others. Again, all of our success is tied together. So everything that we do reflects on each other. And we all have a very small window of opportunity to win. And everything that we do matters. I believe there's nothing that happens out of coincidence. I believe that we're all here for a reason. We all represent Kansas City and this community together. This is our opportunity to continue to make this the greatest place in all of the country to live and to raise our children. And we all have a role in that. So again, it's a great honor for me to be here today. And I'm so blessed to be a part of this community. I'm blessed just to be able to do what I do. And truthfully, it is a great platform to grow leaders, a great platform to represent my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God bless you all, and have a great day. Thank you.